God is never going to change. Amen. Thank you, Lord. How is everybody today? All right. Well, praise God. What about so good? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm here because I've been in Saugerties. Everybody, who missed me? Nobody missed me. You didn't even say I was gone or nothing like that. I've been gone for a whole month, and nobody missed me. Nobody called me. Pastor Don, where you at? Did you quit the church? What happened? Did we offend you? Did we say something wrong? What happened? That would never happen. You can't say nothing wrong to make me run from God. But I've been in Saugerties. I've been blessed. You know, we have a great church, and you have to. That's what you understand. What God has planted you. You're not here by accident. Sometimes people think that, you know, our lives are accidents, and it's, you know, just a coincidence that I happen to be part of King's Fire Church. No, you're part of God's hand moving in your life, and because of our church, because of the mission of our church and everything that we have, we are one church now in two locations. All right, and I was very blessed and fortunate. You know, one thing I got to say, I came here 4 years ago, and I was saying this last week, that I'm the only pastor in this church that wasn't homegrown from this church, you know, because when it was the Vineyard at the time, they were on a 21-day fast. We were on a 21-day fast because all of us wanted more than what we were having in God. And because of that, God moved us together as one. But the thing of it is they seen love and I seen love. See, because if we continue not to see the love of God, that you will understand that color barriers and everything else is going to get in the way of who you are in Christ. Amen? So we're in a very fortunate place and a very blessed place, and I was so fortunate and so blessed that the pastoral team and even you have so much confidence in me and my wife in the ministry that we have, that you would let us just speak into other people's lives. And that's where I've been. I've been up in Saugerties, and I've been doing a series which we're going to continue to do. And I'm just going to let you in. I'm going to ask you about how's your love life. All right? But it's a different type of love life, all right? So reel it back in now. But that's what I've been talking about. And it's amazing, the Spirit of the Lord, because Jared gave the text, John 3:16, all right? And he went on, all right, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whomsoever shall believe shall not perish but have everlasting life. And also it says that, but God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him that we might be saved. All of us might be experienced salvation. So it doesn't matter who you are and where you come from, all right? But that's what it's all about, and that's what, you know, I've been doing for the last 3 weeks up in Saugerties, encouraging our brothers and sisters. You know, me and Kim, we were the first plant out of New York City in ministry years ago, all right? So I understand about going out there on your own and, you know, doing, you know, have to do with the work of where you've been planting out of bodies of believers. So we've been experienced that, so we were able to encourage our brothers and sisters that they grow stronger in the Lord and see what God has equipped each and every one of you to do. Amen? Because you are unique as a person. Yes, we are collectively a body of believers, but God has created each and every one of you with a unique gift and a unique talent. And once you find that place, because the Bible says your gift will make way for you, all right? Right now, you're just all pretending because you want to be this profession, that profession, this, which is great. But when the gift takes over, okay, that's when you're really going to excel, all right? And I can't tell you what that is. You got to go before the Lord and ask him that, all right? So let us just pray. Father, I just thank you right now, dear God. Father, for this opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk, oh God, and speak into the lives of your people. God, I pray right now as I yield my spirit to you, O God, and who I am, dear Lord, that you would speak through me, dear God. Father, that you would bring revelation knowledge, dear God, to your people, O God, that you would strengthen them, fortify them, O God. Because, Lord Jesus, you said the words that you speak, they are spirit and they are life, O God. So, Lord, we're going to speak spirit and speak life today, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen? So I already told you what the text is going to be. It's going to be John 3:16, John the Revelator, you know, John, 1 John, you know, 2 John, 3 John, that guy, all right? But I just want to give you just a little background on the book, all right? And he wrote to who he was writing to, the purpose, first of all. Remember one thing about God. God always does stuff with a purpose. A lot of times we do stuff, we just do it. We ain't got no purpose, no rhyme, no reason. We just do it because that's who we are, all right? But that ain't God, all right? That is not God. God is the most purposeful being you will ever meet or ever encounter. And the purpose of this book was to inspire faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You heard all the songs that we were singing about the Son of God. That's what it's all about, Jesus Christ. All right, from Genesis all the way through Revelations, God had Jesus interwoven throughout the whole Bible. That's what it's all about. All right, the first call, the divine call, when he called Adam and said, Adam, where art thou? It wasn't that God did not know where Adam was. All right, but God was making Adam to know that you are out of place, buddy, and you better come back over here where I'm at, because if I show up where you're at, there's going to be problems, okay? And God has always been calling mankind back to himself. But all the bulls and all the goats and all that other stuff was not enough to keep us into the place where God wanted us to be in true fellowship with him each and every day of our lives. And the only way that happened was through his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Amen? See, every once in a while, we got to get back to the place of the cross. Amen? The cross, the sacrifice, the blood that cleanses us each and every day from every sin, all right? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin because that's what Jesus really came for, all right? He didn't come here to tickle us and make us feel good. He came to pay the penalty and the sin debt that we can never pay. We used to sing this song, he paid a debt that he did not owe, and I owe a debt that I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And that's what Jesus did. Amen? So that's the purpose why John was writing. Now, he wrote to people who seekers who want to examine the life of Jesus Christ and believers who would be strengthened by their faith. All right? When you examine the life of Jesus through the Gospels, all right, my prayer is that you would find strength. All right? And as a believer, you'd be strengthened in your faith that Jesus is who he said he was. All right, that was the biggest problem with the Pharisees and everybody else. They didn't believe who Jesus was. Even his whole family didn't believe. They thought he was crazy too. All right, so when your family think you're crazy, say good. They thought the same thing about Jesus. All right. Now, the main theme of this whole book is that an encounter with Jesus Christ demands a response. When you have an encounter with Jesus, it demands a response. All right. And that those who believe have eternal life, but those who reject him are under the condemnation of God. All right? And that's in there. Because verse 18 says that he did not condemn the world, but you are condemned because you have not believed on the only living Son of God. All right? I didn't write that. He wrote it. Look at John 3:18. It's in there. All right? But the key word of this whole book is believe. Believe. See, you're never going to receive until the day that you believe. Everything that Jesus Christ was and everything that Jesus Christ is, the day that you believe that from your heart and in your spirit, that's the day you're going to receive everything that God had for you, everything that God sent into this earth through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what this is all about. But before we get to John 3:16, Jesus is having an encounter with Nicodemus. All right? Everybody know the story of Nicodemus? All right? He was one of the rulers of the temple, and he had came to Jesus by night. Because he didn't want to get caught out there and they kick him out the temple and everything else. That's what that was all about. So he came to Jesus by night and he was asking him, all right, as it starts out. Because Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about the new birth. And that's what the cross is all about. God is rebirthing you into the original plan that he had for his life, for your life. Amen? Because Nicodemus came to him and he said in verse 2 of this same chapter, all right, we'll start in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher of God, for no one could do the signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. See, Nicodemus had all the rules and regulations. He had all the things to go. Praise the Lord. How are you? Bless the Lord, my sister. See, he had all that, but he did not have the spiritual birth. He did not have that. He didn't have that spiritual birth, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which enables you to love people. That's why I asked you, how's your love life? How is your love life according to all that Jesus Christ has done for you through the cross? How do you respond to people? How are you loving people on a day-to-day basis? Even those who get on your last nerve, all right? And everybody got one of them that get on your last nerve. Come on, I'm not the only one. You know, we live in the age of technology. You know who's calling you before they call, right? As soon as you see that name, you're like, oh, man, you know? Want to answer this call, all right? But see, when we're loving in the way that God loved us, we're able to deal with people that we really don't want to deal with. See, it's easy to love your family sometimes, okay? Because that's your family. It's easy to love your friend, your best girlfriend, your road dog, my man. You know what I mean? It's easy to love them. But what about the people that are so hard to love? What about the people on your job? What about your irate boss, all right? What about your neighbor that plays music so loud that you can hear it from his house in your house, all right? Are you able to love them too with the love of God, or do we have that condescending spirit, or are we the ones that are condemning the world? Because the Bible says that God so loved the world, which means that God had affection, personal attachment to this world. See, agape love is different from eros love. Eros love is the erotical love which, you know what I mean, mates, husband, and wife have towards one another. Phyllis love is brotherly love. Philadelphia, called the brother, the city of brotherly love, all right? But agape love is totally different because it's unconditional. It's not based on anything that we've done. It's all based on what God did through Jesus Christ to the world, amen? And that's why we have to examine ourselves as we call ourselves true believers, that we walk in the faith that I can love you in spite of you, in spite of your bad language that people in here shouldn't have, but we all know better, okay? Because I'm sure when you slam your car, your finger in the door, the first thing comes out of your mouth ain't praise the Lord, all right? But we working on it, okay? But see, we have to examine ourselves in the eyes of Christ, in the eyes of God, and what God set forth into this world. Because you have to remember, the first time that God flooded the earth, all the thoughts of man was evil. Everything. All right? Jesus is the restoration of God. All right? See, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. When we talk to people about the death, we talk to them about the burial, and we talk to them about the resurrection. And those who get ready to go down to baptismal waters, listen, when you step up there, baptism is an outward show to the world that I understand what the cross is all about. And when you go down in that water, it's like being buried in a tomb, okay? And when you come up out of that water, you come up as a new person. You rise in the newness of life. That's what it's all about. And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus, too, about baptism, because he said, Nicodemus, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that's what he was telling him, because they had everything. They knew Isaiah 53, that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. This is a guy of the temple. He should have known that, because that's all he had was the Old Testament, the book that was written of the guy that was standing there talking to him, but he didn't want to accept it. And we got to make sure that that's the way we're not. See, because when a man is born again, he knows that it is because he has received something as a gift from Almighty God and not because of his own decision. See, it's not about your own decision, all right? John 15 and 16, where Jesus is talking to his disciples, he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask of the Father in my name, I will give you. All right? See, that's when we're operating out of the love of God, because we know it ain't about me. It ain't about how fly I am. It ain't about how smart I am. It ain't about how cute I am. Okay? It's all about him. My expression of love. Because not only how is your love life, but what is an expression of that love? See, love is an expression. Because you can tell somebody you love them all day, but your actions will tell them different. Amen? Your actions will definitely tell you different. I can't tell my wife I love her all the time, and I do stuff that is contrary to what is coming out of our mouth. All right? Because the Bible teaches us in Romans 5 and 8 that God demonstrated his love towards us. That while we were yet sinners, that Christ went to the cross for us. So we didn't even have our mind on Jesus. All right? But God had his mind on us. And that's what we have to understand. When you receive that gift from God, because that's where it's from, because you have been saved by grace through faith, it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast, right? So it was a gift that we receive freely from God. And it's out of that gift, it's out of that love that I operate every day of my life. And that's the way that you should operate every day of your life. No matter what situation, no matter what circumstance you encounter, the love of God is stronger than any other thing that you're going to face in your life. But we have to get to that point. And we have to understand that point. All right? Because salvation, which means deliverance, rescue, safety. Jared, where'd he go? All right. Ooh, he done transcended and went somewhere. He was talking about being safe. You know what I mean? The psalmist says that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord that he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Okay? Your salvation is also a safe place. God has taken the responsibility of being your father to protect you, to keep you safe. This is all part of your salvation. It means that we are brought to a place where we are able to receive something from God on the authority of Jesus Christ. And the first thing that we receive is remission of sins, forgiveness of sin. Amen? Because that's what Jesus came to do, to pay the penalty and give you the power over sin. All right? Matthew 1 and 21 talks about Mary. When she got the announcement about Jesus, and he said that they shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin. That's the first thing that Jesus came to do, to save us from our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Amen? Righteousness means a right standing with God. You are now in a right standing with God. All right? Each and every day of your life. That's the way you have to look at yourself. That I'm in a right standing with God. Other people might not like it. They might talk about you. They might be hating on you. But so what? Who cares? You didn't make me right. He did. All right? I mean, because we take the value of people's opinions so strong that you get vexed in your spirit and you call in this one, you know what she said to me, he said to me. Who cares? Do they line up and pay your mortgage or your car payment? No, they don't. Your rent? So why do you care? You need to care about what this word says about you and God. So therefore, you can operate out of the same relationship that God had with you through the cross, that you can operate it. You can't make God love you no more than he already does. But you can love him more than you are right now. You can't make him. Not after that sacrifice. Okay? And the penalty has been paid. See, God has no problem with sin. All right? He did for a number of years. He had a problem with sin. He used to be mad. All right? Took one generation and they all dropped in the desert. We all know that one, right? But when it came to a point, God said, I'm tired of this. And he sent Jesus. All right? And Jesus said, okay, give me the earth suit. I'll go down. I'll make it right. All right? And that was out of love. All right? It was out of love that God did what he did. So therefore, when we interact with the world, because it said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whomsoever shall believe, they're not going to perish but have everlasting life. Now, how is the rest of the world going to know that God loves them the way that they love us? Unless you get up off the blessed assurance, okay, and go out here and tell somebody about the love of Christ. And God gives you plenty of opportunity with your neighbors, with the people you work for, all right, with the restaurants that you frequent. God gives you plenty of opportunity to share the gospel or share that love because it should be coming out of you. When you realize, listen, I'm not going to burn in hell. One of the things that happened to me, my pastor was preaching one time about justification. And when I found out that it was just as if I'd never done anything. When that thing hit me in my spirit, I was like, what? Yeah. It's like, I got a clean slate. Brand new, baby. All right? Everything that you ever say about me, so what? It's all God. And I know I did it, but it's still all God. And that's the way we should operate every day, because that's what Jesus did for us. See, I don't care if you were stealing pencils or cutting heads off. God don't see it no more. God don't see it no more. All them lies you've been taught all your life, you're never going to be this, never going to be that, you're never going to amount to nothing. Guess what? The devil is a liar. Yes, I am, because now I am the righteousness of Christ because of Jesus. And because of that, that's the way I live my life every day. I ain't sweating you. I ain't sweating what you're saying about me, because it don't matter what you say about it. It matters what he says about me. He went to the cross. He shed his blood. He's the one that made me whole. He's the one that lives inside of me and gives me the power to live each and every day. See, that's love. That's what love does for you. Love empowers you. Love does not take you down. Love lifts you up. That's what love is all about. That's why Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And you have the power to speak life into people. You have the power to speak life into a dead situation. You just heard Gail and Elio's testimony. It was dead, but Jesus raised it back up. See, that's what we have to understand, the power that God has given us. See, because once you're forgiven, then comes the transformation, the power of sanctification. Sanctification is the state of purity, walking in holiness. In sanctification, the regenerated soul deliberately gives up his right to himself, to Jesus Christ, and identifies himself entirely with God's interest in other men. Paul talked about that in Philippians 2. 2 and 4 and 5, we always quote that scripture, number 5, where we say, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. But we forget verse number 4, where it says, don't be concerned about your own interests, but be concerned about the interests of others. That's when he said, let this mind, that your interest becomes about other people more than your own. Let this mind be in you, that you care more about people. You care more about that lady, that young girl, who just had a baby out of wedlock. You care about the way that she feels, abandoned, because the young man that walked out on her. You care about that mother that is struggling. You care about the alcoholic. You care about the wino. You care about the prostitutes, the drug dealers, the gangbangers. This is my 14th year going into the jail. I've been going into the jail 14 years. I've been going into jail longer than most people have been saved. Why? Because I understand the love. I understand the cross, that it ain't about me no more. See, once you give up your right to Jesus, it ain't about you. He said, you have been bought with a price. Your life is no longer your own. Psalms 100 says that we are the sheep of his pastures, that you did not create yourself. See, the whole thing about this God thing of it is, you still God. See, because you ain't died. You ain't died. You ain't buried yourself. That's why you can't rise up in the new life. Pride. Pride, pride, pride is the biggest killer of man, because you still God. That's what Adam thought. I'm still God. I'm going to make the choice whether I'm going to obey you or disobey you. All right? And that's what we have to understand. See, because when the love comes in and the new man, which Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians, that if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. That old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Everything in your life, the way you talk, the way you act, the way you treat your wife, the way you treat your kids, the way you treat your husband, the way you spend your money, everything should be brand new in your life because of the sacrifice that was given for me. That should be enough. You know, I talk to people all the time. I talk to other pastors, and I tell them all the time, listen, I'm not the sin police. I ain't gonna chase you and find out whether you're living right. If what Jesus Christ did on the cross ain't enough for you to live right, I'm not going to wear myself out running after you. Okay? Because you should have the same love in your heart that he expressed for you by giving it all. You should be giving back and more. But you can never give more. But you understand what I'm saying? Why? Because I'm a new man. I'm a new creature. The new man has the will and the purposes of God in his heart. You call yourself a born-again believer, and I'm a new man, or I'm a new woman. But do you have the purposes of God in his heart, the purposes of God that every man on this earth should hear the gospel about Jesus Christ? No matter how you do it, whether you're sending or whether you're going. But Jesus said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. And I choose you to go. So it ain't about you staying. Okay, I know everybody likes that. Well, I'll be the sender. He wants some more goers. Okay, everybody wants the comfort. I want to stay here. Instead, no. Get on a boat, get on a plane, get on something, get in your car and go to another state. You always ain't got to go out the country. Because there's sinners in Jersey the same way they are in Connecticut. Okay? So it ain't like we got to get on a plane or boat all the time. You know somebody in your family. I got them too. All right? And they need to hear the gospel too. See, there should be an expression of love that people should know. I remember when I got born again, this lady said to me, I don't even know who you are anymore. I said, well, welcome to the club, because neither do I. Okay? See, because when God starts working stuff out in your life, people ain't going to know who you are, because you ain't going to be talking. You ain't going to be wanting to do the things that you've done no more. That's when you know that you and God got it going on. See, if you still, they talking about the party at the club tonight. You know, Jesus, you might have to stay home, because... No, that's not it. See, love changes you. Love changes you. That's the expression of God. He changes us because Romans 5:5 says that the Holy Spirit has poured out the love of God in our hearts because that's his job. He is the one that pours out the expression of love in our hearts because a lot of us have been damaged by love. A lot of us have been damaged by relationships that we thought was love. Well, I just love him. I just love her. And now they gone. With the love. But see, God's love is unconditional. All right? He ain't going to switch up on you. He ain't going to change up on you. And that's what we have to learn to live at. You know, and all of us have to look at ourselves, how am I loving? Because that's what it all boils down to, because God is an expression of love. All right? 1 John 4:8 says that those who don't love don't know God. Why? Because God is love. All right? That's who he is. All right? And I want to talk a bit about this regenerated spirit, about being born again. It's the radical spiritual change in which God brings an individual from a condition of spiritual defeat and death to a renewed condition of holiness and life. Okay? The biblical doctrine for regeneration emphasizes God's role in making this spiritual change possible. Change is complete, okay? Complete change occurs when Jesus Christ enters the life of an individual, all right? When you allow him to come in. Revelation 3:20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. See, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. And he said, if any man opens the door, then I will come in. And I will dine with him, and he can dine with me. See, the invitation is always there for you to get closer to God. But the thing of it is, there ain't no doorknob on his side. The doorknob's on your side. You're the one that has to open the door and say, yes, Lord, come on in. Yes, Lord, come on in, and let's talk about all the things that are going on in my life. Because what would you have to put away if Jesus knocked on the door? It's Jesus. Would you be shuffling? Oh, it's Jesus. Let me put this over there. Let me put that. Or one of the pastors come to your house. What would you have to put away? Think about that. See, love has nothing to hide. You know what I mean? And this radical spiritual change that regeneration is all about. Because I'm going to tell you, my wife, she used to hate my guts. All right? The woman I'm married to now, she used to hate me. She would cross the street and go on the other side of the street. That's how messed up I was. She would go on the other side of the street when she see me coming down the street because that's how messed up my life was. But the day she see me preach at Riverview Baptist Church, February 10th, 2002, she seen the switch. She seen the switch in my life. And only God could show you that. And only God could do it. See, like Elio was saying, you know, thank God for Brother Elio and his honesty. He said, until that seed died, there ain't no death, there ain't no burial, and there wasn't going to be no resurrection. And that's what we have to understand, that we have to die to everything that the world has said about us, family said about you, friends have said about you, and understand what God says about you. See, God wants you dead, okay? He don't want you alive, all right? That's bad news for somebody, but he says he wants you dead. He don't want no new resurrected you. No, I want you to die so that way I can raise you up to what I want you to be. I raise you up to what I created you to be. I created you to be an instrument of love because that's what I am. Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, you be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. All right? We got a marker. And it ain't Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant or who Ray Lewis, the guys that just won the Super Bowl. No. It's Jesus Christ. We got a marker. We have a standard that we have to follow of great wisdom, authority, intelligence, and everything else that has nothing to do with this world. But we take our eyes off of Jesus. That's what the enemy did with Eve, took her eyes off of what God had said. He's still the same. You know what I mean? He's still the same guy. He ain't leaving. You have an enemy of your soul. Don't believe the hype. The devil, yes, he's still alive, all right? And he's an enemy of your soul. And if he can get you to take your eyes and your focus off the Lord and what Jesus has done for you, you're never going to feel the love. And you're never going to be able to express the love because you can't give what you do not have. You can't give what you do not have. It says in this John 3:16, it says, the love of God. Love is both an attribute of God, which means a character, and a description of his being. That's who God is. God is love. That's his character. Every time you hear him, every time you see him, it should be love. And that's the way the world should be when they see us. Every time they hear us and every time they see us, it should be love. You know? Even though they call you Jesus freaks, holy rollers, and all that, it's still love. All right? And not that phony stuff. Love. True love. Because you know. See, nobody could change my life. See, every time you see Pastor Don, this is me. Josh worked with me. He'll tell you, my wife, she knows. 5 o'clock in the morning. Bida! Okay? People who know me know. When my eyes pop open, here come the joy. Here come the peace. Okay? Because some mornings I'm hollering and screaming, and I wake her up. Because that, see, it's his presence. God's presence is love. You feel it. You know, nobody has to prime me. Nobody has to pump me. It's because I realize what God has done for my life. He could have left me where he found me. That's what love is all about. Think about your life. Some of you should be dead. All the alcohol and drugs and sex. You ain't got AIDS and herpes. Grace. Okay, me. I'm going to put it back on me because that was my lifestyle, and I'm not afraid. Who the Son sets free is truly free indeed. I should have been dead 1,000 times over, but grace. See, nobody can make me feel the way that God makes me feel. See, because I know if he never showed up, where I would be. Either dead or spending my life in prison. But God showed up. He intervened in every one of our lives. No matter how vile it is, no matter what, God showed up in your life because you got purpose. Because he created you with purpose. And that's what we have to understand because this world needs to see the expression of Jesus Christ every day of the week of their lives. It's not about the way that you feel. Hey, think about this, the way that I feel. Here he is nailed to a cross. Think how he felt. Do you know that's the worst? Crucifixion is the worst death that you could possibly die. The worst. One of the worst. But he did that for you because of love. And then we have the nerve to say, well, I don't feel like it today or I ain't feeling you today. Then you're not walking in the love that God wants us to walk in. We're not expressing the love. Have I truly received this love? All right? Because that's why people are cheating on their mates. Because you ain't in love. Because when you love somebody, you ain't going to cheat on them. All right? Because once you receive the love of God, if you're not going to be loyal to Jesus, you're not going to be loyal to nobody else. That's why the cross is vertical first and then horizontal. 10 commandments, picture of the cross. First 4, talk about your relationship with God. The other 6, talk about your relationship with man. And if you don't get the first 4 right, you ain't going to get this right. And that's why some of your crosses look like this. because you ain't right with him. We play like we right with him, but we ain't right with him. Because I'm talking about even when people offend you. Jesus said, there's no way you can live in this world and don't be offended. People offend you every day by driving cars. Right? Every day, people offend you by the way they drive their cars. All right? Now, your response to what they do, all right? Now, that's a totally different thing. Because you have to understand, like I said earlier, everybody who ever had an encounter with Jesus Christ, their lives changed. All right? The woman caught in adultery, all right? It was a love problem. All right? That's her whole thing. It was a love problem. But what did Jesus do? All right? And the writing on the ground and everything else, he said, woman, where are your accusers? She said, Lord, there is none. He said, neither do I accuse you. Now, do you realize at that point, because he said, anyone without sin, let him pick up the stone. At that point, Jesus could have picked up a rock and busted her head wide open because he's the only one without sin. But he said, neither do I condemn you, but sin no more. See, when that encounter, when you have that encounter, the woman at the well had an encounter with Jesus. The lady with the five husbands, and number six wasn't your husband either, all right? Another love problem, all right? But when her encounter with Jesus, okay, her response was to go back and tell everybody else about someone that told me every nasty thing about me, but guess what? He said he loved me. See, because when you have a true encounter with Jesus Christ, your life is definitely going to change. There's nobody in this Bible that had an encounter with Jesus Christ and their lives never changed. You never heard in the next Mark, the lady that was caught in adultery, well, you know, she was doing it again. You don't hear about that. You don't hear about the woman in the well anymore, except for she became an evangelist, and her whole town got saved. You understand what I'm saying? When you have an encounter with Christ, nobody should hear what they used to hear about you before. Why? Because love has taken over my life. The love of Christ has taken over my life. The love that God sent through his son. Jesus said, everything proceeds from the Father. All right? He said, even of himself, he said, the Father is greater than I. So if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that's living in each and every one of us, all right? Now, if God got enough power to raise a dead man up with no heartbeat, and no pulse, all right? Dead, flat lines. Well, you nurses, you know when you hear that, whoop, you know what time it is, okay? That's what he was. He was dead, okay? But the power of the Spirit of God raised that man up, and we still alive and breathing. Why can't we express the love? Because it says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that lives inside of me. So if that is true, which the word of God is true, and every man be a liar, why don't we express the love of God each and every day of our lives? See, that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. And sometimes we have to self-examine ourselves. That's why the psalmist said in Psalms 139, 23, and 24, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Okay? He was asking God to come in and examine his life to see if there's anything in me, God, that's not of you, and if it is, lead me in the right way. That's what all of us, that should be a prayer of our life each and every day, all right? Each and every day of our lives, that should be a part of your life. This word should be a part of your life, this love, okay? Because God alone, he is the epitome of divine love and the source of all true love. His love is unconditional and consistently seeks the highest good of the one who is loved. God seeks consistently the highest good of you because he loves you. You hear that? He seeks the highest good for your life. And see, that's why you need to be around people who celebrate you, not people who tolerate you. You need people who's going to celebrate your life. You need people who's going to celebrate your weaknesses. You need people who's going to celebrate you when you ain't feeling oh so good. You need to call people and say, yes, I love you with the love of Christ. I'm going to come sit with you. I'm going to come talk with you, but you coming up out that spot because that's not the spot that God ordained you to be. See, the problem of it is we have got so conditioned to being second-class citizens in the kingdom that you're comfortable where you are. We're living beneath the privilege that Christ died for us. Thank God for Chris Politillo. Because he's trying to take you to a higher place. Jesus said that the thief comes to seek, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's what the love of God is all about. And this brother is getting ready to take me and myself to a different level for those who want to go. Because, Chris, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, homeboy. I'm with you. See, because that's what you understand. That's what love does. Love directs. Love puts you in a place of authority. We're not in a place of authority if we owe a whole bunch of people money. They own us. All right? And that's the place. There's nothing wrong with it. Step up to the plate. We all make mistakes. But see, once the love of God comes into our lives, then everything, the Spirit of God comes into our lives, then things should change in your life. Things should change in your life, and they should change dramatically. We need to have to stop making excuses for our faults and deal with them. One of the biggest problems that I deal with people, you know what I mean, as I minister to them and they want me to counsel them, is that, listen, when you come to me, it ain't excuse time. I'm going to listen to what you say, and we're going to talk about that word. But if you're going to start making excuses, me and you're going to have a problem, okay? Because I can't make excuses, and you shouldn't make excuses. You know, they have 8 kids. They pastor a church. He has his own business. He can make up a whole lot of excuses. Okay, but not. Why? Because he could do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Same way I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me, in the same way all of you could do all things through Christ who strengthened you. But as soon as we stop making up these excuses for who we are and living less than who we're supposed to be, that's when the change is going to come in your life. Because nothing changed in my life until Downstate Correctional. When I look myself in the face, and I said, God, forgive me. And if you put my feet on the path, I won't get off it. And it was till I recognized it was me. It wasn't everybody else's problem. It was me. That's when that forgiveness and that room lit up like unbelief, and I've been on that path. It's been 25 years. Only time I go to prison. Only time I go back to prison is to minister and let me out the door. Listen, I was in Ulster County Jail one night. And something happened, and they talking, acting like I'm supposed to stay over. I said, you better find somebody, because I'm getting up out of here. I don't know how you're going to get me out of here, but I'm getting up out of here. I ain't staying nowhere. Not me. I've been there, done it, got keychain, T-shirts, and everything to prove it. You understand? It's not where you've been, and it's not where you are. It's where you're going. It's where you're going. And if you don't keep your eyes on the cross and understand that Jesus loves me, even with tears in your eyes, there's going to be times that you're going to have tears coming down your face. God, I don't understand. And keep going. If you have to get on the ground and crawl, keep going. But don't give up. Why? Because God did not give up on you. God tried everything to turn the heart of man back to him, but they wouldn't do it. And he said, there's only one other thing I can do. I got to send my son, because this is the only sacrifice that God will accept. The cross, the cross, the cross. Through all the pain, through all the suffering, through all the blood, through everything else, that's the only thing that God will accept. And that's where the most greatest force on earth is love. And that's where God released it, on that cross. The greatest force ever is love. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're going through. The greatest force on this earth is love. 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love. Paul breaks this thing down about love. In verse 4, see, because the marks of love on your life, there should be a mark of the loveship, the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. And he says here in this fourth verse that love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. And it's not puffed up. See, pride goes out the window when love comes in. See, we ain't about being all puffed up. It ain't about that, because it ain't about me no more. See, when the love of God enters your life, it said love never fails. All right? Love bears all things. Verse 5. Love does not behave rudely. Okay? Love does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. All right? Love doesn't even think evil, let alone do evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. See, when the love of God is operating in your life, you can endure all things. Because I'm sure there's people in this room. 5 years ago, you wouldn't go through the stuff you're going through now. But you can endure it. You can endure it. Why? Because you have the spirit of temperance operating in your life. Before, when somebody said something to you, you wanted to slap the taste out their mouth. Okay? But now that you have the spirit of temperance, you might think it, but you ain't going to do it. You understand? When love is operating in your life, these are the things that should be marks of your life. All right? Love never fails. But whether there's prophecies, they're going to fail. Whether there's tongues, they're never going to fail. They will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But listen to verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put childish things away. See, there's a progression in our life. Yes, we are a child of God, but that don't mean you stay as a child. Sooner or later, you got to grow up to be a man or woman of God. And Paul didn't put no age. He didn't put none. The recognition of who I am in Christ made him a man. Because he said, I thought as a child. I acted like a child. See, we can't be born again and still throwing tantrums. All right? Because that ain't God. Because then the love of God is not in us. Because it said love does not seek its own. See, anytime you're seeking your own, you know the love of God is not in that. You understand? The love of God is not in that. That's why Peter says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. All right? See, that's why we shouldn't have to beg you to come here at 9:30 to know, because love should promote you to be here at 9:30, because I want to know more about God. I want to know more about this love. All right? Yeah, I'm going to challenge you, because this is a church that will challenge you. Okay? We raise up disciples. You can't be a disciple if you don't want to be disciplined. And it takes discipline to get up at 9, to get up before, to be in a seat at 9:30. All right? Can make up all the excuses that you want. Like I said, when I found out about justification, okay, that everything was wiped out, they didn't have to worry about me. Anytime the doors was open in church, prayer service, Bible study, Sunday school, you didn't have to worry about it. I was there. And then I got a key, and I used to open the door. I made sure I wasn't even a trustee. I used to shovel the sidewalk and everything, making sure everybody else could get in because I was the first one down there. See, because that's what love does. Love changes everything about you. You know what I mean? Love changes everything about you. I don't get paid to preach. I never did. I never got a salary for preaching because it ain't about that. Because, see, man, but I'm a carpenter and I'm very good at what I do. So I get paid, okay? But not when it comes to this, because there's not enough money in this world that could do for me what Jesus Christ has done for me. There ain't enough money in this world to promote me. See, if we got to do stuff like that, then it ain't love. It ain't love. And God is looking for his church to rise up and be the expression of love. In these dark times, in these crazy times, when people are just acting nuts the way they are. And you have it in you. The thing of it is, are you going to let it out of you? So that's what I want you to think about. How is my love life, for real? How is my love life? How is my expression of love to this world, this age that we live in, based on what Jesus Christ has done for me? You can't base it on nothing else except for the cross. Because if you base it on anything else, you're going to miss the point. You're still going to make excuses. You ain't going to do what God wants you to do. But when you base it on that love that was given to me that day on Calvary, them 2,000 years ago, then your life is going to change. Because then you're going to see how much you're worth. You're going to see how valuable you are. If you was the only person on the planet Earth, guess what? Jesus would have still came. He still would have came. That's why the teaching in Matthew 6, where it says, don't worry, from 25 to 33, don't worry about this, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you look at the birds of the air. He said, aren't you much more valuable than these. See, when you see yourself as the much more, I'm much more valuable, even with sickness. I'm much more valuable, even broke. I'm much more valuable, even with my bad attitude, okay? I'm much more in Jesus. Do you understand? That's why he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all this stuff will be added to your life. See, we have to seek the love of God first before anything in our lives, each and every day of our lives. I guarantee, I'm going to give you a little assignment here, everybody, all right? I want you to start reading 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, for a whole month, all right? Besides everything else you do, read 1 Corinthians 13 about love. Love never fails. Love never parades itself. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep reading it for a whole month. And if you're serious about that, I guarantee stuff is going to start changing in your life. Because the Bible says his word does not return to him void. I guarantee. Put him to the test. Like he said with tithing, prove me in this and see. Prove me in this and see from your heart. If you want to change in your life, if you have not feeling the love that I'm talking about and you want it to become a part of your life, start reading 1 Corinthians 13 every day in a quiet time, undisturbed, interrupted, just you and God. And I guarantee things are going to start changing in your life. Now, don't get crazy when God starts exposing old stuff in your life because he has to get some of that stuff out of you. Because some of you are still damaged. And you use alcohol, drugs, sex, and everything to masquerade all that stuff. Or even a bad attitude. But when God starts bringing this stuff to the top, let it go. So that the flow of his love can start flowing through you. All right? Because I'm going to see. I'm going to know. Because every day you come through them doors, there ain't going to be nobody can do nothing to shut you up or put you down once the love of God touches your heart. Been there and done it. I know. I know. It's because of love I am the man that I am every day of the week. And I don't change. I don't change. And there's a lot of stuff that changes in my life, but I will not change. Why? Because of that cross.